Numbers chapter 32. Good to see you today. Please come back tonight at 6 to hear that young preacher preach. And he's going out and taking his wife and family and starting that church. And that's exciting. 38 years old. And I think I was around 31 when we started Lighthouse Baptist. And that's exciting. I'm excited about that young man starting that work over there in Medina. So, all right, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Numbers chapter 32. Look at verse 1. I'm going to read all the way to verse 23. That's a lot of reading, but I just feel impressed to do it this morning. Now, how many have got Numbers 32, verse 1? Now, the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and Eleazar the priest and unto the princes and the congregation, saying, Atroth and Dibon and Jazer and Nimrah and Heshbon and Elah and Sheba and Nebo and Beon. And by the way, if you can do it better, fine. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. And you know what's amazing? We're going to get to heaven and find out none of us pronounced it right. But it's all God's word, amen. Look at verse 4. I got through that first series. Even the country which also smote before the congregation of Israel is a land of cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Now look at verse 5. I'll be preaching a lot out of that verse. It's not my main verse, though. Wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto us, unto thy servants, for possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Moses said unto the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war, and shall you sit here? Boy, that's the trouble. Got a lot of people say we're Christian, but not many want to go in the battle. Wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel? See, when we don't all do work together as a group, it discourages others. Going over into the land which the Lord hath given them, and thus did your fathers when I sent from them Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Esco, they saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the church. Remember they sent 12 in there? And they should only sent 2, Caleb and Moses. And they also, we can't do it, there's giants. Because of that, they wandered for 40 years. Let me just drop down to verse 17. But we ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we brought them unto the place, and our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities, because the inhabitants of the land. Verse 18, we will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man's his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side of Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side of Jordan eastward. Moses said, verse 20, Moses said unto them, if ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he had driven out the enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, and then afterwards you shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and the land shall be your possession before the Lord. Verse 23, my text verse. But if ye will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord. And be sure your sin will find you out. I've spoken from this chapter before, but I just felt impressed to preach it again this week. And so, be sure your sin will, you hear that all the time, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin, but we use that out of context. This sin right here is talking about not getting in the battle. And let's have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help me be a blessing to the people. I really believe you, Lord, even last week you put this in my heart to preach this Sunday, and Lord, help me now. Holy Spirit, fill me. Lord, take full control. Lord, help me to say every word I'm supposed to speak, and Lord, blot my mind out for words I'm not supposed to say. Lord, please, may you get honored and glorified today. In Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Verse 23, and be sure your sin will find you out. That's what Moses spoke sternly to the people of Reuben and Gad, tribes of Reuben and Gad. See, this is, be sure your sin is will find you out. He's not talking about the sin of adultery. He's not talking about the sin of fornication. He's not talking about the sin of drunkenness or pornography or lying or cheating. He's not talking about none of those sins. Although God don't want us to do those things. He's not talking about that. He's talking about one thing here to the tribes of Reuben and Gad. He said, if you don't do what you said you will, if you don't get in the battle, be sure your sin will find you out. Yeah, listen to me. When we don't get in the battle, God's not happy. Watch me. They wandered for 40 years. They're getting ready to cross over. They've got some enemies they have to fight. They have some victories they need to have. They need all the people working together as one to get the victory. How many heard what I just said? They need all the people working together as one to get the victory. And Moses was concerned about Reuben and Gad because they didn't want to cross over. They were happy right where they were. You know, Christians, it's sad that you become complacent a lot of times right where you're at. When God has so much more for us. He has an abundant life for us. John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. He's not just talking about eternal life in heaven, that's great, but he's talking about this life here. Many times we lose out on that. I want you to note something. They didn't want to cross over Jordan. They were just content to stay where they were. You know, every Christian ought to be wanting to grow in grace more and more every year of their life. You ought to be studying more, praying more, seeking God more, so you can have a closer walk with God. How many want a closer walk with God? I know I do. And it just doesn't come by accident. We have to seek it and to want it and to search the Lord and find him early. Amen? Now notice in verse 5, Reuben and Gad told Moses, if you look at verse 5, wherefore they said, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Man, Reuben and Gad told Moses, we'll take our inheritance on this side of Jordan. Buddy, I don't want mine on this side. I'm going to take mine on the next side. Amen. How many's going to cross over and get the inheritance? By the way, I want you to think about this. And now you can turn if you want, but you don't. I studied this. In Numbers chapter 1, don't turn. Let me just quote it to you. You get out here quicker. Numbers chapter 1, verse 46. It named all the tribes of Israel in Numbers chapter 1. And how many people they had that was 20 and over that could go in armed battle. Well, in Numbers chapter 1, verse 46, they numbered those that were over 20 and over, and that could go into battle, 603,550. That's what they had in the tribes of Israel that could battle. Now they're getting ready to cross over, and they're going to need people to fight off those that are the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Hittites, all the people that are over there. Amen? How many are still with me? And if you study it, when you study chapter 1 of Numbers chapter 1, the two tribes of Reuben and Gad, Reuben had 46,500 in their armed people. And Gad had 45,650. That's over 92,000. Now stay with me. I want you to think with me. There's around 603,000 could go. Reuben and Gad, those two tribes together, almost had 100,000. I'm talking about fight for the fight. So 100,000, 600,000 total. So they had about 1/6 of all the people that could fight for the land. How many are still with me? See, it really makes a difference that everyone counts. You might think you can't do something, but there's always something you can do for the cause of Christ. There's always something.
And they responded and said, we'll go, okay, we like it over here. We don't even want to cross over. But I'll tell you what we'll do. All right, Moses, don't get upset with us. We'll build sheep things here and fences and stuff, and we'll set up our families here on this side. And then the armed people, we'll go over and fight with you. We'll go over and do the fight with you. Then when all the fighting's done, we'll come back. How many are still with me? That's what this whole chapter of Numbers 32 is all about. Reuben and Gad said, okay, we don't want to go over there, but we'll go over there and fight with all our brothers and help our brothers and sisters. And so we're going to go over there and help you do the battle, and so you can get that land of the promised land over there across Jordan. And then Moses said this to him. All right. You said you would. I'm holding you to your word. Be sure your sin will find you out. Reuben and Gad, if you don't bring your people over and you don't help us take the promised land, you just be sure your sin's going to find you out. And the sin of what they were talking about was the sin of not getting in the battle. How many are still with me? You know, I noted this. Isn't it amazing, even in 2013, God's people have to be challenged to get in the battle? God's people have to be challenged to stay in the battle until the battle's over and won. Hey, I've got the victory. How about you? Look up here. I don't know when Jesus is coming. I believe he's coming soon. And Jesus told us over in Luke 19:13, occupy until I come, till I come. You know what our marching orders is, Eddie? Keep on in the fight until I come. A lot of times Christians get too complacent in their Christianity. Well, we've got it made. No sense of me. They got those young preacher boys now in the church, and they got those young kids. What do I got to do in there? I'll just sit there and take it easy. I mean, what? Hey, I've worked long enough. Well, I'll let you. Hey, Bobby, we've worked long. What's some of these young kids taking on now? I don't care how young you are, how old you are. I don't care who you are, what you are. We're all called for the battle. We're all called to do God's work. We as Christians need to stay in the battle for eternal souls until Jesus either comes in the rapture or takes us home. And other than that, Bobby, we got marching orders. We've got marching orders. Amen? Sad, most Christians are satisfied to do nothing, but there really is a battle to fight. We got it all now, preacher. No, we don't have it all at all. You know, another thing, I might not, I'll say this. I'm hoping we get the blessing with the dinar. You know what I'm afraid of, Eddie? If the Lord does give us the blessing, I'm not saying he's going to, but if he did, will we say, well, we got it now, we don't have to work no more? Hello? How many's with me? We need to stay in the battle till Jesus calls us. The battle's not over till we get called up. Listen, souls are dying every day and going to eternal hellfire. Every day, thousands and thousands of people are going out in eternity. There's a battle cry today to warn people of the coming judgment of Christ and hell and the love of God. You know, we went to the Davey, got us some tickets for the auto show here this last week, and about five of us went there, and we took Lukey too, and we went to the auto show and looked at the new cars and looked at some of the old cars they had on the other side. I said, does everybody got tracks? We passed out close to 30 tracks. And that might not be a lot, but I'll tell you one thing. My biggest goal in that was not to just look at cars. I told the guy, we prayed before we left, prayed when we got back. I met a couple that their mom was dying. I prayed with them, and I met a Cleveland football player. Can't think of his name right now. They gave him his track, and he said he might come to our church. And what was the name? John Hughes. I met John Hughes and witnessed to him. He listened to me, too. He was a good man. Real big. I wouldn't want to mess with him. Boy, But boy, was he kind and just precious. Back there, when I was with Lukey, they had little rides for Lukey to jump on, things to knock people over with, and throwing footballs. And so I just went back there at the end. I was getting tired of walking, so I told the boys, go over there and look at all the old-time cars, and I'll take Lukey, and we'll go in this game room, and we'll play. And he walked back in there out of all, and I got talking to him about his life and his soul, and he said, "Preacher, how do you get to your church?" I tried to explain to him from Cleveland how to get here, and had a great time. You know, you can do it. Anything you do, you can always take Christ with you. And we just got to be soul conscious. And there was a lot of people there. Now, I'm sure I could have done more, but I determined before we left that every one of us was going to do something, even if it's just one person. Amen? And so, listen, we got to have a thought. Boy, Ruthie, all those people, I'll bet you all those thousands of people, and it was packed. I'll bet there was only a handful of people that were saved. When the rapture happens, if they're not saved, they're staying behind. Hello? When the rapture happens, if your family's not saved, they're staying behind. It's time for us to go witness to our families and friends and tell them we love them and tell them Christ loves them and get them ready because Christ is coming back. If you don't believe that, just watch the weekly news on Fox or one of the ABC or one of them. You'll see things are happening, man. Amen? Listen, hell is real. And the battle cry today is go out and tell the people, warn them, warn them, warn the people. Judgment's coming. I want you to turn to one scripture with me. Look over in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. And I know it's a familiar scripture. And I'm not saying anything that you don't have, that you don't know. I just want to try to exhort you and encourage you and challenge you this week to be a witness for Christ. I think a lot of times we lose weeks and days and months because, Brother Mike, we just get complacent. Well, we're fundamental. Yeah, I know we're fundamental, but we need to be putting out the Word of God. We need to be warning people. Look what God's Word says. How many of you got Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17? Son of man, I have made thee what? A watchman. I'm in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17. Son of man, I made thee a watchman. You've got Isaiah. Just keep going past Isaiah and Jeremiah. Then you got, how many got with me yet? How many have got Ezekiel? You got Zeke? Okay. Zeke, we got a little boy named Zeke. We call Zeke. Well, we used to. A little Filipino boy. Elmer's a little boy. By the way, Mercados, they went back to the Philippines for a few weeks. So pray for Brother and Sister Mercado. They went back to the Philippines. They go almost every year. I think they're going to spend about 3 weeks there. Son of man, look at verse 17 now. I have made thee a watchman. Hey, are you a child of God? Then God's made you a watchman. Unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. Hey, hell's real. Heaven's real. If people aren't saved, they don't go to heaven. When people die, they go out in eternity, and if they're not saved, they're forever separated from God. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. How many see that? I believe with all my heart, Eddie. I believe this with all my heart. And I'm going to be one of them standing there at the great white throne judgment when people are coming up one by one and cast in the lake of fire. I believe that we're being witnesses. And some of our friends and some of our families, hello? And some of our acquaintances that we said, oh, I'll witness to them next week. I'll tell them some other day. And one day they're going to die without Christ, and they're going to be cast out, and they're going to be crying, why didn't you warn me? Preacher, why didn't you warn me? Hello? And they're going to be cast, and I believe with all their blood's going to be on our hands. We're going to be sitting there. That, by the way, that's why when you get into Revelation 21:4, it says God will wipe away all their tears. I believe those tears are, we're weeping because of those people we didn't reach, and we're brokenhearted that we let them die and go to hell. Now, I know all people go to hell on their own, but, you know, we could be a witness. I don't think we witness enough. And I know this might be boring to you, but I want to challenge you to get a thought, hey, no matter where I go, I'm going to witness. Every day God gives me, there's someone I can talk to him about Jesus. If he gives us life, if we go somewhere, Mike, there's someone we'll meet. If it's a guest, most of you fill your gas tanks up about every other day now. I took a second mortgage out last week and we filled our tank up. What about those gas people in attendance? What about the people pumping the gas while you're pumping yours? Hello? What about the McDonald's people? Because usually when I go there, I let the pump go, I go and get a cup of coffee and come back out. And if you wouldn't lie, most of you do too, but most of you get Big Macs with them. Wait till Monday. Big Macs only 25 cents on Monday if you buy two of them. So we eat Big Macs. Billy, the other day you were in the hospital? We went and got some Big Macs, man, 25 cents on Mondays. By the way, it's good to see Billy here. Good to see Russ, Wes McDaniel doing better. Praise God. I want you to see. Look at Ezekiel. Look at Ezekiel 33. Turn up some more at the end of that book. Twice God puts this in there. Two's the number of witness. Two's the number of witness. Ezekiel 33:7-8. Thou son of man, I have set thee a watchman. God Almighty has sent his Christians as watchmen for him. Are you with me? I'm in Ezekiel 33:7. Son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word of my... You know what I was thinking when I read this too? We only have one missionary to Israel. This year we need to take on some more missionaries to Israel. We support around 85 missionaries right now. But I'm telling you, I think we ought to get some more missionaries to Israel. God puts them first. He said, go to the lost house of Israel first. At Jerusalem, then Judea, and Samaria, and the othermost part of it, it always starts with Jerusalem. Boy, it's quiet in here today. Therefore, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. How many see that? On your bulletin, I'm glad Shannon does it every week. We don't have Saturday soul winning. We have Saturday soul warning. Shannon Ray's typed it in right. Because we're not winning, we're warning them. I don't win anybody to Christ. The Holy Spirit convicts them. Pastor Dave's been preaching on the Holy Spirit. You're missing phenomenal teachings here, Sunday school. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts people to come to Christ. We just need to put the word out. We're putting the warning out. Hello? If there was a fire on their porch, you'd say, get out, you got a fire in your house. I'm going to tell you, that's just a temporary fire. The one they're going to die and go to hell is an eternal fire. When I say unto the wicked, verse 8, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, and the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will require at thine hand. I want to tell you right now, soul winning and sharing the word of God is serious business with God. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Hello? We need to concentrate more on fishing for men than we do out there in Lake Erie. Not against that, but our number one focus ought to be fishing for men. Listen, we need to give the warning to all people that we come in contact with. Because hell's real and Jesus is coming. How many believe Christ is coming back? How many really believe he's coming back? He's coming back whether you believe or not. But he is coming back. And Mrs. Knight, I believe we're really close. I think we're that close right now. And I can't wait. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the upper taker. Amen. Now listen, if you think with me, every second of the day, every minute of the day, every hour of the day, day after day, month after month, throughout all the year, one thing we got in common, every second, every minute, every moment, someone's dying. And if that person dies without Christ, they're going out in eternity, and there's no turning back. There's no second chances. Not when it comes to heaven and hell. Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. That means every day it's getting larger and larger because people, souls of mankind, are dropping off into hell. Years ago, I was listening. I think it was Art Bell or something. One of those night shows. And they actually played a tape. It was taped in Russia. Russians, this is true. This is a true story. They were drilling down. They got real deep in the ground, and all of a sudden they stopped because they heard people crying out. They actually believed, I don't know what they did, but they actually were hearing people literally cry out in agony, and they felt that they tapped in to the center of the earth where hell is, where there's wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hello? How many are still with me? Hell's real. Look up here. In the Old Testament, Jesus hadn't died yet for us. Are you still with me? They offered up lambs as a type and symbol of Christ, the Lamb of God to come. But that blood could never take away sins. Only the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, could take away. That covered it until the Lamb really came. How many are with me? In the Old Testament, Billy, when people died and had faith in that blood of the Lamb, like Adam and Eve had faith in the blood of the Lamb. When they sinned, they had to be clothed. They were naked. We believe that was a lamb that God slain. And he covered them with lamb skin, showing that the lamb, by the way, if you don't think, then why did they teach Abel and Cain to offer up a sheep in chapter 4 of Genesis? Hello? But Cain said, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it by works. God didn't accept his works, did he? He only accepts the blood of the lamb. So in the Old Testament, people like Moses and Adam and Eve, and you just name all Jeremiah, Isaiah, you just name thousands, when they died, they went into the heart of the earth. There was two compartments. One was called paradise, Abraham's bosom, and the other was called torment. Are you with me? When Jesus died on the cross, see, they couldn't have went to heaven, Annie. The blood hadn't been shed for them yet. That's why when Jesus died on the cross, it said the graves were open, people walked around. And Ephesians says that Jesus led captivity out of captivity. Ephesians, are you many with me? All those that were in the holding tank called paradise, after Christ died and shed his blood, he made a way. Now, Brother Jordan, when a Christian dies now, their soul and spirit goes right to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. How many are still with me? So Corinthians teaches us. But before, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. They died. They had faith looking towards the cross in the Messiah. We look back at the Messiah. But now, Brother Coolidge, so he takes all those Old Testament saints out of that compartment, which we called Abraham's bosom or paradise. It was in the heart. That's empty there right now, Mike. It's empty. But the other torment side, it's still there. And everyone dies right now without Christ. Their soul immediately goes to torment. One day at the end, you study the scripture in Revelation, the great white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20, 15, whosoever is not found written in the book of life, cast in the lake of fire, they're going to literally be taken out of that torment and they're going to be cast in the lake of fire. What is the lake of fire? I don't know. Is it the sun? I don't know. I just know one thing. It's going to be a lake of fire. It's going to be eternal separation from God. That's where every person's going unless they come to know Christ. And that should be in our mind all the time. When your next-door neighbor talks to you, in your mind you should say, wow, I wonder if they're going to be with me in heaven or they're going to be in torment for eternity. See, the compassion making the difference. And some having compassion. Look up here. I know we're saved. But what about others? What about others? Amen? There's a battle for souls today. Are you doing your part to win souls? Are you warning people? Are you witnessing to people? Especially to your lost friends and family. You realize how many friends, there's a circle. They say around every person is around a circle of around 200 people. Every one of us have a circle of around 200 people around us. Now, preachers got more because I got a church. But the average person has around 200 around a circle around them. Have you witnessed all that circle of that 200? Have you prayed for that 200? Have you ever taken those people to the altar of God and say, oh, God, help me to lead Bill to Christ. Help me to get Sue saved. Lord, help me to win my sister. Help me to win my mother. Hello? Boy, it's quiet here today. Are you passing out gospel tracts to people that you come in contact before it's too late? Listen, are you giving to missions? Oh, you knew preacher'd get on money somewhere, couldn't you? I love giving. I'm glad God loved giving. For God so loved the world that he gave. This could be the last year we have to reach people. 2013 could be the rapture year. I don't know. I don't know when he's coming back. I just know he's coming back. Tommy, every time we have those senior programs, we had two people raise their hand. Tommy brought a great message on last Thursday, and we gave an invitation, and two senior citizens asked Christ to save them last Thursday. That's exciting. And I think those two were in their 80s, I believe. Yeah. But and that's somehow God just, the word, you never know what, it never goes out void. And that's why we do that program every month. That's why we run the buses every week. I know one of the buses didn't run today. I don't know what's going on. But I know one thing, I'll be telling you what's going on because I'm going to need money to fix it. And I'll put in just like you do. Notice. But are we giving the missions? The world doesn't know anything about Christ. By the way, America, who printed the Bible and promotes the gospel and sends out missionaries, we're getting so dark that we need missionaries here. That's why, you know the hope of America? Get a bunch of young guys trained, called to preach, trained, and plant churches in America. Plant them everywhere you can plant them. That's the hope of America. You bus workers. The bus workers are so important to the children that ride them. And when you get them, give them the warning. Show them that Christ loves them and tell them that there's a heaven, tell them there's a hell. Just don't bring them on the bus. Man, love them and show them the way to Christ. That's why we run those buses every week. I know a lot of churches quit running buses because they said they were too costly. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how much is it per gallon, we're going to keep running buses till I have no breath in me. Because God wants those kids saved. God wants those kids to hear the Word of God. God wants those to be in those little kids' lives. And you can only reach them by, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. People must hear the Word of God. Keep those buses. You Sunday school teachers, you super church workers, man, when you go over there, man, go with a passion. Don't say, oh, man, I got to take it this week. You're going to amount to nothing. God help us to have that kind of bad feeling. You ought to say, oh, God, you've given me an opportunity to share your wonderful love with these people. Lord, let me go there with the power of God on me. And, oh, God, let me burst out with love and not hate and joy and not evil. Amen? That's the truth. Look up here. I'm going to let it fly. We're a good church. We're fundamentalists, Bobby. I know we are. But you know what? Sometimes it gets become old hat. We just take it for granted. Ahab, I'm so glad your sister took me out to Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. And I'm glad your mom and daddy were in a fundamental Baptist church that taught me truth. Because if they wouldn't have took me out and I would have never heard the truth, I'd be going to hell right now. I'd probably be in hell right now. Because my lifestyle would not have kept up with, I would have died somewhere. Either drunk or shot or beat up in a bar. I'm so glad God sent me where truth was. Don't ever take for granted the light and truth that God's given to you. Where would we be without that truth today, Annie? Hello? Amen? I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of rich skivers out there. There's a lot of them out there. Some of these kids here, you don't know what God's going to do with some of these kids here. I'm excited. I hope every one of them girls marries a preacher. I hope every boy becomes a preacher. I was thinking about Tim. I don't want to embarrass you, Tim. I'm hoping at least two boys out of your family comes to be preachers. We need some guys with some spit in them. Really? We need some guys that got some stickability. We don't need sissies. We need some men. We need some real men that love God, that will stand and have convictions. That's why I'm glad we got that young preacher boy there. He's got convictions, solid. Don't ever turn, Billy. If you do, I'll come back and haunt you. This is the hope of America. These young people right here, this is the hope of America, that we can get the gospel out to the world, because I'm going to tell you, if we don't raise an army, we're in trouble. And Reuben and Gad said, oh, we don't want to go over. No, we all got to go over. We all got a job to do. We all got to witness for Christ. You say, well, I can't walk no more. Then give me money. I'll send it. We'll put in the missions. You say, boy, preacher, the gospel's free, but it takes money to get it out. So don't tell me you can't do nothing, because you could write checks out and help us buy tracks, help us to send missionaries. Help us to buy buses. Help me to, whatever's wrong with that bus, Brother Danny. I hope it's not a lot of money, but we're going to need money to fix it. And I know Brother Danny's the guy that's going to be the one that has to do it. He just said her smiling. Bus routes are important. Given the warning to the Sunday school and Super Church and warning, we aren't going to help Brother Myers. Listen, we're going to help Brother Myers. His son's going to be here tonight. Young preacher, he's going to start a new church over there in Medina. And we need to get excited about that boy going. You need to be here tonight to encourage him. You need to be here to support him. I'm going to tell you right now. I remember, and I hope I'm not boring you today. I remember when God called me to preach. I was 21 years old. On my birthday, on a Wednesday night, March 22nd. And then I remember God called me to preach and start a church. And I remember when I went down and started that church down on Galena, Lighthouse Baptist Church. We started a little storefront. I was talking to somebody yesterday about this, or the day before. We had 26 people show up for church that first morning. Three of the ladies showed up. They were two sisters and they had a teenage daughter, Mrs. Breska. And I said, why did you come to this church? She said, 6 months ago, me and my sister got down and prayed and said, God, if you bring a church and put it on Galena Street, we'll go. And I saw in the 9 years we were down there, we had more than 1,000 recorded professions of faith in Christ. God just kept sending people down. I'm going to tell you something. We need to be concerned about lost people. Amen? I used to always say, someone has to care. Yeah, that's how it got started, Annie. I'd walk up and down Galena Street we moved back in the old house I grew up in. And Mike, I said, boy, someone's got to care. Someone's got to care. I started praying, God, send a preacher. I don't know. I was a preacher. I said, God, send a preacher to reach these people. God said, oh, God said. Finally, he said, hello. Hey, knucklehead. Me? I didn't mean me. See, we're always praying for someone else to do something. But God, I don't got no education. No, God, I was talking about, a real good preacher. You know, not a street kid. And then God said, no, you're the guy though here. You've been where they've been. You've thought what they thought. You've done what they've done. And they did, and he showed it, and it was true. And they came. And they came by the hundreds. And in 6 weeks, we had 68 people. Within 6 weeks of that church starting, we had 65 people or so. I mean, it was unbelievable. And Henry knows the first Easter Sunday, we had 141 people show up for church. I'd only been open for 3 months. And they had two little, like the whole church, the building was about this wide. You know, then it opened, and we opened that door, and we put chairs in what you call the foyer. And then the next door was right there, and it opened up onto the street of Galena. So many people came. They ran home, and they brought back their kitchen chairs and their lounge chairs. And Bobby, all along Galena Street, all along the sidewalks, people were sitting in chairs. And when I gave them, people just kept coming and coming. I'm going to tell you something. We need some young preachers to do that again. Because they're out there. We're just not going to them. Hello? You listen, you can, every one of us can witness. You can put a track in your electric bill when you send it. Hello? Come here with me. You can pray. Everybody here can pray. And everyone can give to help others. You say, I can't. No, there's a lot, a lot. Like, some of you say, well, I can't do nothing. Oh, you can do something. Are you in the battle for the Lord today? Are you just content to stay what you are? Jesus is coming back. We'll all face him face to face. And when we stand before Jesus, Jesus is going to say, either well done, good and faithful servant, or he's going to say, you were slothful, and I was slothful. Come here with me. I'm closing down. Listen, if you don't serve him now, remember Numbers 32:23. If you don't serve him now, remember Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. One day we're going to stand before God Almighty. And one day, one by one, we're going to come up. And we're going to give account, not to go to heaven, but our stewardship, what we did. You wouldn't be in heaven if you weren't saved. One by one, we're going to, just like they're going to the great white throne. We're going to the judgment seat of Christ. Come here with me. Corinthians chapter 3. And one by one, we're going to give an account of our stewardship. One by one, God's going to say, well, what did you do for me? How did you serve me? Were you faithful? Were you a witness? Were you a tither? Did you help missions? Did you care about the teens? Did you care about youth getting grown in grace? Did you do anything for ABL? How about the buses? Did you care about the buses? Did you ever help the bus work? Could you work on them, or did you finance? What about all these different programs? The jail ministry. I'm not going to name every ministry. It's, what did you do for Christ? And if we don't have nothing to show for it, that scripture from Numbers 32:23, I believe is going to come out to us and say, be sure your sin will find you out. Hello? Be sure, because, see, our job is to work for them. Our job is to witness for them. Hello? Be sure your sin will... He'll say, no. The trouble is, the reason you ain't got no fruit, you just didn't do anything. You were like Reuben and Gad. You just wanted to, you were just content to stay right where you were and not do nothing. God and Moses told Reuben and Gad, okay, boys, you said you're going to come over and help to fight the battle. You better do it. You better keep your word, because if you don't keep your word and get in the battle with us, be sure that sin of not getting in the battle with us is going to find you out. Christian, I'm all done. Are we really serving him, or are we playing? Be sure. How many hours do you watch that stupid boob tube where you could be studying the Word of God, or on the phone witnessing to somebody, or going out to someone's house? Hello? See, this is serious. You say, preacher, all you do is preach on winning people, because I think that's the most important thing there is. Because when we get to heaven, we're not going to... Listen, now's the time to work, Jason. Are you with me? Now's the time to work. When we get to heaven, now, that's the time to party. If I can say that, have fun. Rejoice. Glory. That's glory land. Shouting land. You say, man, that preacher, oh, amen, glory to God, praise God. You say, why does that preacher always do like that? I'm just practicing to when I get to heaven. Says there are angels right now, and you study the book of Revelation, says, right before the throne of God, holy, 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 that day and night, holy, 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 never stops from the angels. And they don't even have a redemption. Jesus didn't shed his blood for the angels. They're created beings. They don't have an eternal soul like you. Oh, boy. You've got an eternal living soul that's going to live forever. And that's why Christ died and shed his blood, to redeem us. He paid the price. Now, I can never pay him back. But I'll tell you one thing. Whatever life he gives me, I can use it for him. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I'll close with this thought. When preacher was a young kid your age, and I'm not bragging, but I'm telling the truth, I really was a pretty good ball player. Matter of fact, I thought I was going to be a Major League Baseball player. I was hitting Major League pop-ups when I was in the sixth grade. And by the time I was in the eighth grade, I was hitting balls over 400 feet. I was knocking them out of the ballparks at eighth grade. And they were all high, like Jim Tomey used to hit them. And people were watching me. I even got my dad, and Curly Dem went and got my dad and said, there's two Detroit scouts, and go get your son. I was over in the park swimming, and they said, I want your boy to, he was a Federation coach, and he used to watch me all the time. He said, oh, Lefty, you got it, kid. You're going to make it. I was real fast, and I could throw, and I could catch. Played center field. I batted. I could hit balls. I put them on other diamonds. We went to that auto show the other day, and they had a little batting cage. I said, Lukey, get in the batting cage. They wouldn't let him in. He said, you got to be 14. Lukey, I said, oh, Grandpa, I forgot I couldn't close my hands. I said, I'll get in, Lukey. Watch Grandpa. And I got in there, and then I realized, you're an idiot. First of all, you're almost 64 years old, and your hands are crippled, and you have to grab to get a hold of a ball. You got to have that grip on that bat. But I hung in there, and I hit a couple of them. And Lukey got to see his grandpa swing. By the way, he saw me miss a lot of them. I missed more than I hit. But I'm glad. I'm glad I didn't become a ball player for the New York Yankees or the Cleveland Indians or Detroit Tigers. I'm glad I became a player for God. And I played center field in baseball. And God gave me the whole world for a field to cover now. So I'm 2/3 at least through my life. And I'm glad And I'm glad me and Rose, your precious sister, the greatest wife in the world, I'm glad we never turned back. But we just kept going from little friendship all around the world that God's used me. He hasn't used me much, but I'm glad whatever I could be used, I was used. I'm glad. I'm all done, kids. Preacher's got silver hair now. When I was young, I had hair darker than Billy's. And I had more hair than Billy, too. Almost as dark as Brother Bobby's. Not quite that dark. No mustache, though. But I'm glad. Now that the black hair's gone, and I used to be only about 165 pounds, and now I'm too much now. I'm glad that I serve God. You'll never regret. You kids are going to have trials in your life. But you stay faithful to God. You'll, at the end, you'll never regret serving Christ. I've met a lot of people, and they say, oh, we just regret all these years we wasted. Don't waste your life. Use what you got for God now. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for loving us. Oh, God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for being our Savior. Lord, help us not to be like Reuben and Gad. Take us not over. But, oh, God, let us, Lord, we're going to cross over and do all we can for the battle. I know there's a great battle to win. Help us to be faithful soldiers for the cross. Help us to get in the battle and never tire. Never turn back. Never retreat. Help us stay with the stuff to the end. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, Pastor, I'm going to be honest with you, I've wasted a lot of my life. I need to start serving Christ. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. You know, today would be a good day for the Bethel Baptist Church to get around the altar. Some of you know some lost people. Maybe a lost family member. Maybe a lost friend. Why don't you come to the altar and pray for them? Pray for that person to get saved. And then this week or today, while your heart's burning, go to them. Go to him in tears. The book of Acts says, Paul, for the space of 3 years, ceased to warn people night and day with tears. That's what the scripture says. Some of you young people need to say, God, I'm going to give you my life. I'm going to serve you all my life. Dedicate your life to serving Christ. Whatever God would have you have. Maybe you could give more for God. Maybe you could pray more. Whatever you could do, maybe you could work in the ministries more. He's coming back. People are dying. Thousands and thousands every minute are going out in eternity unprepared to meet God. And a lot of it's because we as Christians just don't care enough to warn them, love them enough to tell them, have enough compassion that would make a difference. Father, please help us. While we're praying, is there any today that say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, I don't remember ever getting born again, saved. Pastor, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and put it back down. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Anyone like that? I won't come to you. I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure if I'd die if I'd go to heaven. And I'd really like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. For anyone like that today, pray for me. Father, please help us. If there's any lost in this building today, Holy Spirit, convict them. Show them the love of Christ and their need for Christ. Show them the urgency of the time they're living in. They might not have another day. This could be the last day, the not last opportunity when you're knocking at their heart's door. Help us help all of us when you knock at our heart that we respond. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand.